Today on Real Radio.
What about you and I taking a flight? And we're flying into Los Angeles, and LA says 39 Lima, descend to 5,000 feet and contact Los Angeles control. And we do exactly that. And then the man in the tower comes back and says, 39 Lima, we'd like you to land runway 25 left and contact Information Charlie. And we listen to Information Charlie, and it tells us incredible details about when we make this, when we make that, when we come here, and all the information needed to get us there. Now, what if you and I were flying along and that guy said, descend to 5,000 feet and land runway 25 left. And I repeat back to him, Los Angeles Tower, you are a narrow-minded, bigoted person.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 15. The young pastor's mentor, Paul, reminds his son in the faith that persecution for standing up for scriptural truth is to be expected. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in this series called Follow Those Who Are True.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men, says Paul, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's interesting to know that as we study the confidence that Jesus, Paul, Timothy, so many spoke, it's interesting to note that the very confidence comes in the Word of God by studying the Word of God. Not too long ago in 2 Timothy 2, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who is able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to pull out the appropriate scriptures at the appropriate time. I find it powerful to me that in my life, I used to be so led about by my fleshly desires before coming to Christ. And I put every bit of intensity I could into fulfilling my fleshly desires. Nothing would hold me back. I would scheme, I would work hard, I would pull, I would climb to do whatever. And you're nodding your head, and you must have done the same thing. Unlimited resources, it seems. But now we come to the Bible. And when I heard the word of God, my heart was greatly convicted, but I knew it was truth, and I yielded to Jesus on June 22nd, 1977. Blown away as Keith Green played worship and Greg Laurie, hippie Greg, hair longer than most of you women in here, gave the message. And I was cut to the heart. I tell you, the Word of God for me is it. The Word of God is it for you. And it reminds me, Spurgeon says, we must settle our minds that the Word of God must certainly be true, absolutely infallible and beyond all question. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly what I believe. And you might say, golly, Jack, you are so narrow-minded. You ought to be broad-minded like me. I tell you what, I used to be broad-minded. My mind used to be real broad, like a dumpster that pulls up to my house, real broad, and all kinds of trash would go in it. My mind's gotten a little bit more narrow now. You see, once you find the true way, every other way just doesn't taste good anymore. And the fact of the matter is, I guess I am a narrow-minded, bigoted type, single-hearted person. But I think you are too, and I'll prove it, no matter where you are, if you know God this morning or not. I like to fly airplanes. You know that. I love them. And what about you and I taking a flight tomorrow morning, my day off? We go up, fly around, get above all this guck that's here. And we're flying into Los Angeles, and LA says 39 Lima, descend to 5,000 feet and contact Los Angeles control. And we do exactly that. And then the man in the tower comes back and says, 39 Lima, we'd like you to run or land runway 25 left and contact Information Charlie. And we listen to Information Charlie, and it tells us incredible details about when we make this, when we make that, when we come here, and all the information needed to get us there. Now, what if you and I were flying along and that guy said, descend to 5,000 feet and land runway 25 left? And I repeat back to him, Los Angeles Tower, you are a narrow-minded, bigoted person. I want to do my own thing. In fact, I want to land on the 405. I feel like it. I want to do it. And the guy comes back and says, listen, 39 Lima, are you all right? What's going on? 25 left. And I could stand there and argue with that man, or sit up there and argue with that man. He's given me instructions that are very narrow-minded. I want to land on any runway I want to land on. I think there's a lot of runways that lead to God. And the tower comes back and says, listen, pal, if you don't land on 25 left, you're going to be in big trouble. There's only one way. Many planes have come and landed on 25 left. And now you must land on that one. But we can be stubborn and resist. The word of God is it. It's final. It's the final statement. It's the absolute command. And as we believe that, we understand that over thousands of years period of time, 40 authors penned 66 books that comprise your Bible this morning. But yet linguistically, numerically, it speaks clearly of the evidence of one author who moved through 40 different people as the Bible was penned. And nobody can deny it. It's absolutely true. The Bible stands, the Bible is now standing, and the Bible will forever stand. In Psalm 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven forever. Isn't that good news? And so Jesus said when he was on earth, these things I have told you, so that when they come to pass, you'll know that they're true. The word of God. Confidence in the word, and we start here in verse 13, in his continued warning to us in these last days. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This speaks of satanic empowerment or energized by demonic activity. And this is a very sad and tragic thing here, because you see where it says deceiving and being deceived? It means this, people, that those who are teaching false doctrine in the church, they are not only deceiving people, but they themselves are deceived. They believe they're teaching the right way. They don't go, yeah, here they come, and boy, am I going to dupe them. They don't believe that. They don't think like that. They've been deceived by the enemy. And their goal is to sow doubt into what is being taught in the Bible-believing church. And we do not find this surprising. In Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, it says there in the Bible that now the serpent was more cunning than all of the animals which God had made. And he said to the woman, really, has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He didn't say that. He's lying. God said you could eat of every tree but one. Satan comes and says, did God say you can't eat of any of the trees? You see that? You see that little twist? Listen, Eve comes right back, and she's right on. She says, he says we can eat of every tree but the tree that's in the midst of the garden. We cannot eat of it. But you see, he put in a statement that settled in her mind, just a little one. But she came back with the truth. So what does Satan do? Throw up his wings and say, oh, you got me, and walk away? No, he's a great devil. He stays right in there and he keeps going. And he says, well, you know why, don't you? God doesn't want you to eat of the tree. Because you'll become like gods. You'll become like a little god. And she said, no kidding. Gosh, that sounds pretty good to me. And as I looked at that, you know what? This dawned on me. It kind of freaked me out. You know what the first sermon Satan ever preached was? It was in Isaiah 14. He says, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. I will have a throne like his. I will be above him. I will be everything. Right? That was his first sermon. Do you know where his second sermon was preached? In the Garden of Eden. You know what he said? You can be like God. Go ahead, Eve. You know what he did? If you read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, he said, I want to be God. Him and Shirley MacLaine. I want to be God. And it didn't work in the heavens, and it says that God threw him out of the heavens, judged him. So he comes down, and he's sitting in the garden, and he's going, boy, that message sure flopped on me. And it's ruined my life. And so I'm going to, being deceived shall deceive. And he deceives Eve and says, hey, why don't you become a god? Knowing in his mind, oh, that message cost me, and it's going to cost her. And she blew it. And there's people today preaching that you can become a god. Hey, the message works. It's deceptive and damning and destructive. There are people in the church. Remember, chapter 3 is concerning people in the church. There's going to be false brethren in the church. It doesn't surprise us that the Bible says that in the last days, congregations will heap to themselves teachers to tickle their itching ears. When your ear itches, what do you want to do? Do you want to tickle it? No, you want to scratch, get it out of there. Sometimes you rub it, you know? No, it's funny. Their ears are tickling. Ooh, or they're itchy. Ooh, man, I want to hear something just radical and new. Something that's not even in the Bible. And this guy comes up and goes on their ear. And it doesn't take away the itch. It tickles them. And they get all goofy. And they go after false teachers. Now, with that type of scenario, look what Paul says in verse 14. But you, oh, that's so refreshing. He says, but you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. This word in the Greek, continue, is the word meno. Meno in the Greek, it means to wear or to wrap around with expectancy, to dwell or to stand or to live with expectancy or anticipation. And so he says, but you live with expectancy, Timothy, the things which you have learned. Put them on. Wear it like a garment. Wrap yourself up with it. I saw a terrible thing this week that reminded me of this. This is terrible. I'll teach it by a contrast. You know, whatever we're doing in the Middle East now, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if we know exactly. But there's guys running around in camouflaged gear. Right? They're all camouflaged. They have their face painted and everything. Why? So you don't get seen. So you're not spotted out and blown up. Well, in contrast to that, there's this guy I saw on TV, Mr. Bullfighter. He's like the top dog bullfighter. And he's got his big red cape, and the guy comes out, and these crowds going crazy, and he's tipping his hat. This is great. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I mean, pride comes before a fall. This guy's out there, and for his big commemoration of all of his great victories, he comes out in this beautiful looked like silk. I don't know what it was, but it was a red outfit. And he's out there, all right, man, you know, I'm here. And he's got his cape, and the cape's red. And his clothes are all red. And the bull starts running, and the guy's going, holy cow, you know. Holy cow, I didn't mean that. And all of a sudden, this bull is like trying to make up his mind which way to kill, you know. And the guy chucks the cape, and that bull's coming right after him. Why? The bull's so red. The guy goes out into an arena with a bull wearing red. It's like being a Christian who's not in the Bible or not in study or not in prayer. It's like drawing a target on your head for the enemy to shoot at you and draw you away. And this guy's like running, the greatest bullfighter, and the guy's he's dressed in red. He's going to get busted because he's not camouflaged. He's not wearing the right apparel. He's not wearing the right defense and the right garment from the Lord. And Martin Luther said, I have covenanted with my Lord that he should not send me visions or dreams or even angels to speak to me. I am content with this gift of the scriptures alone, which teaches and supplies all that is necessary to me, both for this life and for the life that which is to come. Isn't that neat? Hey, if you are wrapped in the Bible's all you need. There are a lot of people saying, you got to read my book. You got to do this thing. No, it's the Bible. It's all you need is the Word of God. It is sufficient. It is enough. And he says, learning, or that you have learned, continue these things which you have learned and been assured of. They're proven. Knowing from whom you have learned them. This word whom is actually in the Greek, it's whom's, plural. And it means Paul, godly witnesses, and Eunice. Remember Eunice and Lois, his grandma and his mom that we read about a couple weeks ago. And so he goes on in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. This word known is an interesting word. It's I do is the way you pronounce it. But it means to be aware of, to become aware of. It doesn't necessarily mean to understand. It just means to be aware of. He's aware of the scripture. From when? From his youth? Maybe. From his childhood? Certainly, but is there more? From his infancy? Yes, we're getting warmer. But listen to this, people. This word for child or infant that you might have in your Bible. If you're taking notes, this is fantastic, I think. I was really blessed by this. It's the Greek word briphos, and it means newly born or just born or yet unborn, to be born. I'll say it again, just born or newborn or about to be born or still unborn. Now listen, this is heavy. He says in verse 15 that from an extremely early state, quite possibly even being unborn, you have been aware of the Holy Scriptures. I read that and my heart got all fired up inside. You know why? Because when my wife was pregnant with our girls, when we would pray, Lisa would lay down, and I would pray with my elbows alongside the bed and my hands resting on her tummy and my mouth about maybe 3 inches or so from her tummy. And we would pray, oh Lord, you know, this and oh Lord that, and bless the baby, God, may it be working, put the foot bone connected to the ankle bone, all that. Do it all right, God bless. And we'd pray. And you know, we thought, well, you know, just in case they can hear. And it was fun. And it was really weird because Rebecca came out, all this stuff's going on, and she comes out, and the nurse hands her right to me, and I go, oh, wow, look. And she was crying and then stopped and looked right at me. Why? I don't know why. Maybe she understood or she recognized my voice, maybe. I want to read this to you that I got out of a journal concerning pregnancy and the development. And this is not a Christian writing. It says, concerning the ears of an unborn fetus, they function as early as the fourth month of pregnancy. And there is evidence that they hear quite well. The fetus living in the amniotic fluid has no muffling air cushions around its eardrum. The water conducts sound better than air. Isn't that interesting? The silent world of the fetus is a fantasy, unfounded in all reality. To a great extent, the fetus can probably hear the woman's voice, the rumblings of her stomach, and the sounds of her eating and drinking. We also know that it hears outside sounds around her body. The cries of siblings, talk, radio, TV, music, even traffic. The fetus hears all these sounds and gets very used to them. It makes sense then to protect the fetus from unwanted disruptive sounds. This is from a scientific journal. They can hear. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Hebrew mamas, the little baby would come out and she'd go right in the ear of the baby before it was even disconnected from mom. Yahweh is Lord. Jehovah is Lord. First thing, I bet that this word, this briefos, this little kid is in there and somehow God, who's in there working anyway, is schooling this child using the word of God. Hey, I tell you, you put praise music on and it settles our heart rate and everything. And they know for a fact that it settles babies yet unborn. You put rock and roll and their brain activity and their heart rate goes up. They know that for a fact. That's scientifically proven. How much more when we pray? How much more when we sing praises unto God? And who's to say that a child so linked to its mother or father, the great family that God has created, is not so deep and so intricate and so beyond our frail understanding that we fail to miss the most important and the most simplest thing of all, and that is talk of God often to our children, not only in their down sittings and their uprisings and in the way, but what about if you're pregnant? Pray, talk. Why not? We know that they can hear. Could it be that Timothy was hearing the word of God in his mother's tummy? I believe so. It fits with Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True, a valuable bit of advice on emulating those godly examples we've all encountered in our lives, even if it comes at the price of persecution. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of this mini-series that takes a look at 2 Timothy 3 and verses 10 through 15. Remember now, this entire series through 1 and 2 Timothy is now available all on one MP3 CD. And for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send it your way. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can send in a gift online if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.